Are you sick and tired and lost wandering through the internet wilderness looking and searching for a real way to make money from anywhere? You've probably been bitten and drained of your time, money, and resources only to get trapped in the next new shiny object syndrome. Well, some girlfriends have found a way out of the wilderness and into partnering with a well-established billion-dollar company that allows them the flexibility of growing an extra paycheck per month or even a six-figure business. Most savvy girlfriends would get curious and a little bit excited. Hey, if this is you and you want to know more, go to ProfitEnJoy.com. You may find a home in ProfitEnJoy.com, or you can decide not to go and continue roaming in that internet wilderness.
I was a gay girl. 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 Back in France in the 60s, it was all so wonderful.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Christine. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, actually.
Oh, good.
My cold is on the other side of bad, so I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm happy to be your mama.
I love it. And if you don't know who we are, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're mother and daughter. I'm the daughter.
Does that mean that you want me to say I'm the mama?
Sure.
Okay. I'm the mama.
You're a psychotherapist. You're a coach. I'm a coach. I got
a master's teacher. Yeah, you got your master's degree in education.
And we're like in the midst of this transitional period with everything we're doing. And
we are.
Upping our ante everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because where we're at, where I'm at, is really creating this map. You did a channeling. For a client,
right?
Because you also are a channeler and a psychopomp, so you have like this huge
a few other things that I do.
Yes, if you don't know what a psychopomp is, just think of the person who helps people on the other side of the transition, you know, keep moving forward. And and I call you the reasonably priced psychopomp because I'm surprised when I'll come up with somebody who has your who's not nearly as good as you and has your resume and they'll charge like $1,000 for a reading.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you out of your effing mind?
Right.
You wouldn't dare do that.
No.
You know.
No, I
$9.99 is your fee. No. But it was interesting. You were doing a reading for somebody because you have coaching, which is different than readings.
Right.
But it's funny. Your coaching clients, they know you.
Right.
So they're always like, well, you know, Christine, I know we're just doing coaching here, but if you have something that comes through, let me know.
And I do.
I want to divert for a split second.
Okay.
Because I do want to get to the channeling that you had. And when I was... I'll try and scribe your channeling sometimes.
Yes,
and,
you sure do.
That's my job in the whole,
right.
You know.
You are the scribe.
Right. And I was reading this and I go, oh my God, there is some profound information here. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that with people right now. But in our way, on Life with the Girlfriends, because this is not like our coaching hour.
No.
This is more like you and I having
although
fun.
It ends up being psychotherapy sometimes,
for us.
Doesn't it?
And we want people to like, hey, enjoy listening to mother-daughter talk, you know.
Because this is how we talk actually when we're alone.
It is.
It's kind of crazy, but it's true.
We have no notes, people.
No.
We're just free-falling.
And someone would say, we can tell.
We can tell.
Yeah.
And mostly what this hour is for us is for me the best hour of my week.
Yeah,
I look forward to it. But anyway, I remember you called me up one morning and you said, I just got this. There's a stock you need to pick. And I think it's a stock and I'm not really sure, but the name, and I think it was Grey Wolf. It's not, that wasn't it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it was something very like that.
Right.
And you just go, I don't know what to do with this information, but I'm just supposed to tell you the name Grey Wolf keeps popping up.
Right.
And it was really weird because at that moment I was watching this movie that you had no idea that I was watching, that you had never seen. And it wasn't like we rented it and that you had seen it. It was on TBS or something. And it was called The Upside of Anger. And It was with...
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was Kevin Costner is dating this quote-unquote divorcee with girls. And the divorcee, she is... Oh, I can't think of her name, but she reminds me of the actress... She might be the actress that lives in that's from Rochelle, Illinois.
Sure.
Okay.
Blonde. Yeah, I know. I know who you mean.
Yeah, yeah. I can't.
You know. I'm loving the way you say divorcee.
Yeah, is that it?
I love the way you say it.
Yeah, divorcee.
Divorcee.
I don't know if that's it. Okay. But she never got divorced. Her husband just left, who she thinks is with a secretary. Mm-hmm. Now, in this movie, spoiler alert, it's only 15 years old. her husband didn't leave her with a secretary. He ends up having going the back of his property line and falling in a well and dying there.
No.
And all this stuff.
And Lassie didn't save him.
So anyway.
What's the matter, Lassie? What? Timmy fell down the well?
They pull out the body. He still got his name tag on. And for the company he worked with was the exact company that you told me 20 minutes earlier. He's like, I just got to tell you this. And I'm like, I'm reading it. I'm like going, you're like, holy mother of God.
Did you get goosebumps?
I did. And this is how it works, though. Yeah. You get a hit, and you have no idea why you're getting this hit. You didn't tell me specifically, hey, by the way, when this guy gets pulled out of the well in the movie.
On his name tag will be this word.
That wasn't it. No. What you got was this name.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the name, I just thought, oh, I'm not worthy, mother. You got the hit so that I could look, you know, not worthy. This is awesome. And it was also like when we did our book launch. Uh-huh. Clearing the clutter, or the Clutterfly Effect.
The Clutterfly Effect.
Tweak your way to a transformation by decluttering your life.
Amazon number one bestseller.
We were
for a day or two.
Yes. A lot of synchronicities that happened that day. One was we did this whole launch ourselves.
Yes.
And we interviewed people on this radio show we did and webcast. And
right.
We were just interviewing all these people for 5 or 10 minutes
right.
and different authors.
Right.
And unfortunately, that day also was the day our website got hacked. and we're just like, oh my gosh, who does that? Why do they do that to people? You know, but that was a synchronicity of it all. But what was interesting, one of the authors, can't remember her name now, but we were talking to her, and I had read her book, and you never read her book, which is kind of how our life went at that time. You know, like, I would do all the prep work, and I would give you the synopsis. Like, Julie, okay, I've got stuff going down. Can you read the book? Give me the cliff notes so I can. I'm like, sure, Mom, I'll have this handled for you. And so, you know, I had a list of 12 authors to, you know, send their books while you had a life, you know, psychopomping, all this stuff. And we're talking, and you said, okay, I just got to stop the interview right now, people. You know, so-and-so, I just want to say, I don't know why, but I'm being told to tell you this, but my room has filled up with white poinsettias, or poinsettias, however you say it, white poinsettias. And then it was a dead silence. And she goes, oh, well, that's my mother's favorite flower. And she goes, oh,
bitch.
Nice. Yeah, nice one. Nice one. And then you're like, and you could have heard the mic drop, you know, like, boom, next. And there was nothing funnier.
But there was, I can remember that now, because she was just like, she didn't say bitch, but she was like.
That was the implied energy.
That was it.
Not like, oh, this is so wonderful, my mom's coming through.
Yeah.
No, it was like, oh. Good one.
Yeah.
It was the other day. It was so funny. Only a person like me who's an outsider to this world of channelers and psychics. Mm-hmm. You said the other day, you said to me, he goes, I'm just so tired right now because it seems like there's some people in my environment that we're all trying to one up each other in our psychic abilities and in our channeling, in our, you know, and I thought,
right.
Oh my God, please, Lord, let me just take this in and think this is the most amazing thing. I love my life. I love being the fly in the wall with all these beautiful women who are just, you know, well, The 12th Ray, I'm just not sure if those three council, there's three or four council members. I'm not sure. I'm getting hooked on there's four or five. 12th Ray, I don't think there's 12th Ray. It's just 11th. I've been shown the 12th Ray, people. I've been shown. And I just thought, ah, lovely.
Are you going to, I'm thinking that this is leading up to the Doug thing.
Oh, my God. And see, because I've been around this my whole life, none of this freaks me out.
No.
Like when I watch Caught on Camera, you know.
Right. Paranormal
Caught on Camera. Which I love the fact that the Travel Channel has turned into Ghost Channel.
I love it. Like
They found their niche.
They're traveling to other dimensions.
Yes. Oh. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Put that on the Travel Channel.
Yeah.
I get it.
You don't have to explain much more. And, you know, and so I can't catch what you guys do on camera, but it was interesting. I was out with Doug last night, and he got a new car, and initially the car he got when I drove in it a couple weeks ago, I was impressed with him. I said, oh my gosh, we're getting gas and your tank says a quarter of a tank left, which is pretty much a miracle for him. And he says, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm not going to let my gas tank run down to zero, because he just always does. I'm not sure why. And he'll always just put like 10 bucks in, drive it till it goes to zero. My feeling is it gives him an excuse to go inside, get a pop, and get his powdered donuts from Hostess, because he loves his powdered donuts. Mm-hmm. It's hysterical when I'll see him and I go, oh, so you know, he obviously
was. How can
was
you tell I've been having powdered donuts?
Yeah, I go, oh, so
you
did you enjoy the donuts?
I got the white under
your
nose.
He goes, what do you mean? I go, yeah, you got cocaine look all over you. I mean, literally. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's my powdered donuts. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah. I go, Doug, you got a problem with it. So anyway, last night we're driving and we're getting a cup of coffee at McDonald's. And I noticed, I said, what is, does this say we only go have 8 miles left to drive in your tank of gas? He goes, yeah, we only have 8 miles left. I said, we have to go to Sterling, which is 15 miles away. I go, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm going to go get some gas. I'm like, okay, great. So for whatever reason, every time we moved up the notch in McDonald's line, we lost another mile. I don't know why. So we leave McDonald's, and at this point it says 2 miles to go. And I am now Snapchatting this. I said to his girls, I'm like, hey, you know, your father who turned over a new leaf, turn back. The leaf got blown back over. And it failed to launch, by the way. Who knows why? That didn't get sent out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so we pull in and it
to
literally
Shell?
To Shell, and it literally says zero on this thing. We have 0 miles left to go. Mm-hmm. So we're on fumes per se. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've ever watched that one British show, Gear, I can't think of it.
I don't know, but the tall guy.
Yeah, the British guys are all drivers, all that stuff. I can't think of it.
Yeah, it's a good show, though.
It's a great show. Yeah. They've done races where they feel how far they can go on one tank of gas. Mm-hmm. And even if it says zero, you can still go a couple more miles. So, you know, the car knows that you want to test it out. So that gives you a little bit of a buffer. So we got there. It said zero. Now, this morning, you don't always ask me this question, but this morning you said, so Julie.
That's out of the clear blue.
Out of the clear blue. You said, Julie, did Doug drive the car to zero yesterday? I go, yeah. How'd you know? I go, I was just checking it. Maybe I thought he turned a new leaf, you know, turned a leaf, new leaf or whatever. Mm-hmm. Turned the leaf over, whatever it's called. And I go, no, literally, he drove it to zero. There was just two lines of how many more miles you can go. Nothing. It's not registering anything. And you've never asked that question
never.
In that way.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I just had a feeling. And I'm like, I'm not worthy.
That's
I'm
so
not
cool.
worthy. And yet, the lottery tickets, you cannot.
You cannot escape the. You began this by talking about my one client. Did you want to say something about that, though?
Well, yes, because when you were channeling, uh-huh. I felt that there was. Well, also, too, I want to say this. You know, like Charmed, the show Charmed?
Yeah.
They never can use their powers for personal gain.
Right.
I wonder if that's how it is.
Well, it is interesting because I am trying to sell a golf cart right now.
Yes.
And I haven't had any luck.
No. And you sold the one you didn't want to sell.
I sell the one I did want to sell, which is fine.
Yeah.
And so now I'm trying to sell this one. And I really literally do not understand
right.
why I'm not selling it.
Right.
Because there is, to me, there's just no energy stuck anywhere.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, and you're in a perfect a lot of place times when you to want, sell a golf cart.
Yeah, I'm in a golf cart community.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like we had a friend who wanted to buy a house. And this whole week, she's been up and down about buying. And at one point, she was like so angry and like, I don't give a F, you know. Right. And I said, finally, you're at the perfect place to get this house because you have totally, it seems like to me, released it.
Yes.
And that is one of the things that you really have to do. It's kind of like when people say, oh, I've been trying for years to get pregnant, and finally they're getting ready to adopt a child, and they wind up pregnant because they've... The energy is finally unstuck
right.
around this particular thing. And I don't feel like I have any stuck energy around selling this one particular golf cart.
This is where you're supposed to focus so hard and tight on what you want, right? Yeah. Be myopic.
Yeah.
And then release all outcomes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, right? How do you do that? Yeah. How do you, and why
Jordan
do I
talks
do?
About hitting the target.
Yes.
Being precise in your speech, hitting the target. I'm in love with him again.
Yes.
I was in love with him all last year. And then we finished his book, The 12 yes. Rules of Life, in December.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 12 months.
Yeah.
And so I've been just sort of, you know.
Missing him a little
missing
bit.
Missing him. And now I've gotten back into him again. And I'm like, oh, Jordan.
Oh, Jordan, you're so wise.
Oh, Jordan.
Well,
I love
he
you.
Puts
I
in,
love you, man.
He takes what
I
you know.
You.
Yeah. He takes what you know, and he puts it in a space of acknowledging the hardship of life, the tragedies
well,
and the...
Yeah, because he is a clinical psychologist.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a psychotherapist. I have the psychology angle. And now he is embracing sort of what I would call Christianity or the Bible, the wisdom within the Bible.
Yeah.
And you know how much I adore that.
Yeah.
And so right now...
The wisdom, the archetypes, the, you know, the deeper...
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And so right now we're just like so simpatico.
Yeah.
And I just want to fly with him.
Right.
You know? And yet he does... He keeps your feet firmly planted on the ground.
Yeah. And we talk about... You know, listening to him and knowing what we know and expanding and diving deeper into this, really having idea, like Tony Robbins talks about how you can overestimate what you can do in a year.
Yeah.
You know, you write these goals out for the year and you're just like, I'm going to create $1 million.
Yeah.
Ah, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And by this time next year, and you underestimate what you can do in a decade.
Yeah.
But what's going on is that decade is shrinking.
Right.
It's really what you can accomplish in 3 to 5 years.
I think 5 to 7. But 3 to 5 is awesome.
Okay,
and
I'll
also,
say 5
I think,
to 7.
I think
That's
you're
fine.
Right. Because, you know, when we wrote our book, The Clutterfly Effect, we really had devoted a whole chapter to the 80-20 rule.
Yes.
And I can't think of the guy's name now who invented it. He's an Italian dude. But we loved that. And
yeah.
And we know now that has... generically done is down to about 90-10.
Yes.
So things are accelerating.
There's less room for your energy being spread out. And talking about having a very myopic goal. And the reason why I brought this up is because you and your channeling, you mentioned the word maps. And when I was transcribing the stuff for you,
yes,
we talked afterwards.
Right.
I said, you know, for this client, you brought up this idea of creating maps,
right.
A map for their relationship, an emotional map.
Right.
I go, tell me more about that and how you see this idea of maps.
Right.
And then, and we talked about it, and then listening to Jordan.
Because it's interesting, because maps do not exist anymore.
No.
Children do not know what a map is, or an atlas, or, you know.
When we grew up with nothing but maps, because yeah. my dad's a trucker.
Yeah.
And my
you
grandmother.
Grew up with nothing but maps.
My grandmother and aunt used to take us on road trips, like long, you know, cross-country road trips. And they'd give us the map, the atlas, and they said, track our destination.
Yeah.
And we would look at it. We'd measure using the key, like, okay, we got 3 inches to go. That's 300 miles. You know, all this stuff. We'd
yes.
have fun with
yeah.
And, you know, and the key to working on any map is to know where you're at, where you're starting, and where you want to go.
Absolutely.
And when you do, and then to see the picture. Right. But nowadays with your phone, you know where you're starting. The phone knows where you're going.
But you don't.
And you have no idea.
Right.
And a couple of times, like I was using the phone map to get from one place to another the other day in our car. And you're like, why do you have your blinker on? I said, because it says I'm supposed to be turning because the road's changing. And the road just changed to a different name. And I thought I had a turn, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it just changed names. It's just a mm-hmm. little curve and the road changed names. Mm-hmm. It didn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if I would have had a real map, I would have easily seen that.
And see, I remember you guys were little. Dad had one of his major truck accidents, and he was in another state when it happened.
Yeah.
I think Indiana or something.
He was in Indiana.
And he was in the hospital, and you were, I don't know how old you were, but I gave you the atlas, and I said, you have to get us here because yeah. I have no idea. You know, we lived in a far suburb of Chicago. We had to go through Chicago.
Right.
And to go across and into Indiana yeah. and all over. And you got us there, girlfriend.
I did. And the
you
nice thing
an
about
awesome
it.
Awesome map.
I
tracker.
Mean, I was only 14. If I was just 1 year older, you probably would have had me drive.
Probably.
You thought, 14, this girl has driven to Jewel and back several times, but I can't make her cross state lines. I mean, what if we did get pulled over? We'd be in big trouble. So I was appreciative for not making me drive.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome.
But I got you there. I got you there.
You did.
So in this channeling, we started talking about the maps idea.
Right.
And then listening to Jordan, and then you and I have been really formulating this future plan for us. Now,
right.
I'm not a person who doesn't have a future plan. I always have a future plan.
Right.
Except that sometimes I just don't hit those goals, those short-term intermittent goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first thing I work on is like, okay, well, maybe my goal is they're too big, or they need to be smaller. I need to get more help, whatever they are, and I'm working on those things, you know, mm-hmm. with my coach. I'm pointing to you, yada yada yada. And so, this idea though of creating separate maps for all your different areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where you're at on your map. What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to, how do you want this part of your life to look like in 1 year? But what about 3 to 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
In 3 to 5 years, momentum can build.
Right.
Newer options can occur. Until you have like a slightly bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. That, or even a baseline.
Or a baseline. You got to have both.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have this baseline, mm-hmm. this where you're at right now,
mm-hmm.
and where you want to go, so that you can map out the territory.
Absolutely.
And you know, and then sometimes you take an exit off the road. You know, you're taking an exit.
Yeah.
And like, ah, gotta get back on.
Well,
know?
A lot of people call that the shiny new object syndrome,
mm.
and it also is the like new relationship energy syndrome.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's all of a sudden it's bright and shiny and it feels all right. And it does. It is a deterrent from truly where you want to go.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's
yeah.
okay as long as you can maneuver that and get back on.
Yeah.
You know. And I sort of like where we're at right now because we have we've revamped our vision board, and it is a lot more mature
mm-hmm.
in some sense.
Yes.
And a lot less fun, I guess,
right. Yeah,
in some sense.
Yeah.
And maybe because there's more to it than that, because we had some news this week that what the railroad yard that we pull all of our loads for our
yes.
trucking company out of is closing in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And on a micro level, that's important to us. But on a macro level, that says a lot about the state of the economy and
right.
and things that are going on,
right,
and on the planet right now. You know, so we're looking at those things, and we know that within this change is some opportunity. Hopefully, obviously, because
yeah.
there always is opportunity within it, but. it does say, it doesn't jibe with our vision board, with our map that we had planned
out. No, it doesn't jibe at all. It doesn't, and that's the key. This is when you don't, like, we work the energies. We have alignment. We work on alignment. We do all these spiritual things, and we do the appropriate actions.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this happens.
Right.
Nowhere in our field
was
it supposed to happen.
No.
Yeah, this is a big railroad yard.
But somewhere in our subconscious field, maybe.
Yes.
But not in our conscious field.
Right.
You know, obviously in our subconscious field, we have experienced, you know, we're in trucking.
Yeah.
It's usually the last to get better and the first to get worse. That's just the truth of things.
Right.
You know.
And so,
we've experienced these kind of things before.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like, oh, it never happened before. This is crazy. But somewhere in our subconscious, but not certainly in our alignment.
And it's interesting because this year has been a slow start,
yes.
Which wasn't part of the plan either.
No.
I wanted things to stay status quo. And I just kept thinking, well, things will get better. Things will get better.
And not only did they not.
They got worse.
Yes.
And they keep getting worse.
Yes.
And then now here we are left with having to pull our loads.
8 weeks to go.
Yeah. We're going to get possibly the same loads, but they'll be 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. So that'll increase our day by 4 hours minimum. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we're like, okay, how do I really take into consideration like all the things I believe in, which is I trust to rely on the spirit totally. Mm-hmm. I know I have grace from God.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith. I know where I'm heading.
Yeah,
I've created my map. This wasn't part of my stops. This wasn't.
And we also know that trucking isn't our true source.
No,
like we know what our true source is, and yet we're always working with those material dynamics,
right.
The three-dimensional dynamics.
Right. I mean, we know that monies and prosperity come in all different shapes and forms.
Right.
And yet, we still have a truck payment, you know, that we have to, we still have to drive at this moment, barring something that I don't know yet comes out of left field and like, oh, okay, great. But here we are.
So, here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm still holding on to the fact that we were told that there will be opportunity within this. And so then that is that's our challenge.
Yes.
To take this serious thing and to keep holding on to look for the opportunity.
Right.
And to see where that exists.
Yes.
We don't know that.
Well, it's interesting too, because I remember you did some channeling for us personally, and this was before we found out.
Right.
And you said there will be a crack, but think of the crack in the economy or whatever, you know, as a crack in the egg. And in the egg, though, it's not a rebirth, but something new is being born.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, not a rebirth, but something new.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost interpret that any way you need to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. When you have a blessing, when you get a blessing, it's almost your job to make it turn out.
That's exactly right. When you were in Montreal... Mm-hmm. What I did for the people there when it was over, I actually did a channeled blessing for each one of you.
Yes.
And I thought that was really, you know, and so far things have been coming true in a way. We should look at yours again to see what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring in this point at this moment, and this is a good time, how important... And maybe even more important than faith, because it comes first, is a mindset.
Yes.
I don't know what else to call it, but it's this firm, a firm conviction and a firm pointing, the mindset of, okay, I'm whatever this challenge is, number one, it's not beyond me.
Right.
It's because, you know, I have faith. And I know that my source is greater than this.
Right.
And that I have faith, even though there may be speed bumps or obstacles. So a mindset is important in the sense that you could let yourself collapse.
Right.
And we all know what that looks like now.
Right.
All of us know what collapsing into something looks like.
Right.
It looks like I get, you know, I'm down on the floor. I'm, you know, how do I pulling my hair out, or I'm drinking a lot or drugging right. a lot or whatever I do when I collapse.
Yes.
You know, so we know what that looks like. I think we're being asked or challenged to not do that this time.
Yeah.
Even though we may want to. I've had moments where I want to. I want to go back to that place that I know so familiarly.
Right.
You know, which does not, as I'm adding things to this as I'm doing this, which does not put away what you and I call this cannonball energy.
Yes.
Because it's not like we do these things energetically so pretty. You know, we do it so gracefully.
Right.
At least not for me. There is usually a moment in time where I get angry, and
right.
it's like this cannonball, boom, you know, and it does somehow clean up some stuff. It this cannonball comes out, it flies through the air,
yeah,
you know, and crashes, and it cleans up the energy.
Yeah.
Where I'm trying to be like kind of sweet. Oh, I'm just being, you know, this is all going to be okay. And then
boom.
I end up this. Yeah. So as I'm talking about mindset, I'm also talking about this energy that I think sometimes, and it may be that energy that we talked about with our friend who just was like so pissed and said, you know, I totally let go of this,
yes.
this house.
Yes.
I totally let go. And at that point, somehow the universe brought the house, and there is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand
that
what you're saying.
Energy.
But then you feel.
I know.
Crazy inside.
I know.
I mean, that's the problem,
and that's the mystery,
and that's the mystery.
It's the problem, and it's the mystery.
And like for me, the spiritual tools that I have and that I use, they are there to help me create. Yes, but mostly endure.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
Because this
that's
world,
true.
And I think that's why I appreciate Jordan so much.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get tired of people,
yeah,
telling me I created my whole mess.
Right,
you created it. Well, and you cannot create it then. I'm like, oh, okay. So I created the railroad closing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I get that, and
yeah.
then I could.
There's always something they can tell you,
right?
Like, well, you created the fact that you work for the railroads, honey.
Yes,
and you could have worked for a tech company,
right?
Like
oh,
the,
yes. Okay,
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, we co-create in this world, you know, yada yada yada, and I understand the principles behind it, and I can get behind it because,
sure.
you know, you can hear somebody else say that we can say we create everything for. To pull out whatever life experience that we need to pull
mm-hmm.
out.
Or what our soul needs.
What our soul. Because I believe our soul is eternal. Mm-hmm. I only remember this part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember more lifetimes. I would love to be able to up my memory, I guess.
Well, Jordan had this this week when I heard. He talked about that... You choose somebody or something that gives you, you know, these experiences that you never thought that when you're young or whatever and you're developing your map.
Yeah.
In my map, I had a white picket fence around
yeah.
my house, and
yeah.
I didn't work,
yeah.
and I was very close to my church,
yeah.
and I you know did all these things. Well, that wasn't my map.
No.
And I never would have said, Chris, you're going to have to climb down to the depths of despair.
Right.
In your lifetime.
Right.
To find who you are in this stupid-ass trucking business.
Right.
You know?
And yet, here you have. You've had to weather the ups and downs, the ins and outs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there hasn't been. And we've created maps where we were leaving trucking. You know, and we were, and still, those destinations weren't there when we got there.
No.
Or like the restaurant, or like we were just like a vacation, you know, with Chevy Chase. You want to go to Wally World or wherever it is,
yeah.
And you get there and it's closed. They're like, what? What?
Or somebody else gets the last ride of the day.
Yes. Wait a minute. Or it's raining and you can't get there anyway, and you've only your trip took so long that you can't enjoy the destination anyway. So, and then you just got to put up your big girl panties up and just go, okay, this is it. These are the cards that I was mm-hmm. dealt. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy the deck. Okay, I wasn't the one that bought the deck, but these are the cards I dealt. Mm-hmm. I was dealt, and I'm going to play them.
And
play
some as people would say, "Yes, you did, Julie. You did buy that deck."
You know, and this is where
and it's okay if it's okay whatever they think.
And I can kind of I can see where they're coming, mm-hmm. but when I hear it, like yes. people know that I like Jack Canfield.
Right,
I've got his books. I like
you
him.
You interviewed him.
I've interviewed him. He's a great guy. He's very generous too. I really like him.
Yeah.
And he came up and he says, you know. Like when you have cancer, you created cancer for yourself. You chose cancer for yourself. And I got hit in the gut when he said that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to go there. Because the one thing I hate is law of attraction guilt.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I don't,
and shame.
And shame.
Guilt and shame.
It's
useless.
Like, those are useless. I don't mm-hmm. want anyone that is listening to me mm-hmm. to walk away feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I would be
alignment. I don't want. But he was like, and he goes, and here's what I mean. He goes, you can say I didn't cause that. There was nothing in my vibration that causes cancer. He goes, mm-hmm. well, do you drink water of a plastic bottle ever? Mm-hmm. He goes, well, that could cause you cancer. Do you? I go. I have one of these things I wear. It's like a copper thing that you know, whatever.
Tracks radiation.
Yes. Do you do that? Do you wear that? I do. And I'm like, dude. All right, I get it. You know, and
yeah, you know, then you know, you're right though, because and again, I know what you're saying, because this is Jack Canfield 3.0.
Right,
this is him now. Yeah. I don't think he was like that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and this is where he evolved to. So be it.
And I love, but I do like the idea of taking responsibility for everything in your life.
Yeah,
because when you do, it gives you power. Like, I'm responsible for everything in my life, and therefore, I get to move forward from it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, I have this. Now, I get to choose how I deal with it.
There were times, I would say, because we've been in trucking 50 years, but there were times that we could have made a move, maybe two or three times in our life, that would have been a somewhat easier exit than now, because we are totally encompassed. In trucking, and we have embraced it fully,
right?
So I get that,
yeah.
But in a way, we were always taken care of as well.
Yes, exactly. You know? 100%. I mean, that's how I feel too. It wasn't our plan. It wasn't on my map.
Mm-mm.
I look at my old journals and I see all these old goals that I have. And there's some of them that are still the old goals I still have now or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some have moved forward. Some have evolved or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Some no longer resonate probably.
No. And yet I could say I knew exactly where I was going. Mm-hmm. But I can also say that I've had a good life.
Yeah.
I've had great relationships. I've, you know, things have moved forward. Things have not moved forward, you know.
So what you're saying is you feel gratitude.
I feel gratitude.
And appreciation. Which is the greatest emotion.
Yeah.
To move things forward.
Yes.
It really is.
Or just to accept what is here.
Yes.
And going, oh, I can dig this.
Yeah. And that's why I'm talking about a mindset.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I know
that the environment, the climate in your mindset is gratitude or appreciation.
Well, when you talk about the mindset, you've always talked about it in this way too, and Abraham Hicks has said the most perfect place to be is to love where you're at with your eyes on something better. And I'm like, yeah. And
I love that.
And for you, you've talked about how your soul wants nothing but to expand,
right?
To appreciate where it's at, and to always want to expand.
And Jordan said this week, there's the perfect place to be is your fear. Like chasing you,
right?
And your eyes on your goal pulling you forward.
Well, but you said it more perfectly.
I did a few years ago.
4 years ago in our book.
Yeah.
You know, when you said, let the pain push you until your vision can pull you.
Yes.
You know, there is something about running away from something.
Right.
When you know that this, oh my God.
Without knowing
I do
where
not,
you're trying to go.
Yeah. If I do not change today.
Right.
Or go all in today.
I know what 2 years looks like.
Yeah.
You know what 1 year looks like.
Right.
Oh, yes, you do.
You do.
You do.
I know for me, I mean, during this transition, having all this stuff coming at us.
Yes.
I've been engaging in a couple of health behaviors that are old. And has stopped my progress.
Right.
Not big time.
No.
If I was a drinker, it'd be like, I just have a half a beer a night.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a drinker. It's like, so instead, it's me, you know, making cookie dough batter. Mm-hmm. And having a couple tablespoons of cookie dough batter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do sugar. But now I'm starting to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have, because that the act of doing that always makes me feel better.
It's comforting.
It really is.
Yeah.
I have programmed my mind for years with my grandmother and, you know, we'd bake. I would bake for you guys. And
yeah.
To when I bake, when I cook, when I stir, when I make batter.
Yeah, you are creating comfort.
I create comfort. I create, and I feel good. Serotonin is released in my brain. And then when I eat it, I'm like, there is nothing better than batter.
Nothing better than batter.
Oh, geez, that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
That's crazy
that's
talk.
That's so cool.
That is cool. Oops.
Yeah. Just one little letter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool, Jill.
Or like better, badder.
Yeah.
Like I'm so bad.
That should, but that should be like a brand.
Yes.
That you create.
There's nothing better than batter.
Screw Duncan Hines.
Yeah.
We like better batter.
Yeah. There's nothing better than this batter. Don't take my,
see,
don't
Jill,
take
even
it.
In the midst of sadness, we find our opportunity.
I know, but the problem is I'm not good at like starting. Yeah,
I know. I know.
Getting all the ducks in the row.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I'm going to let it be. So, yes. So, I love this idea, going back to your channeling, talking about the maps. And also, you said that you should take 3 leaps of faith.
Yes.
And you said, I think there's something about that for everybody here right now.
Right.
Not just this one client, but also for us.
Yes.
And we're being called to take a leap of faith,
mm-hmm.
a leap of faith, and a leap of faith.
Yeah. So it's greater. It's one leap and then greater and then greater.
And what we do know that once you take a leap of faith, and even if you stay there for a little bit of time,
mm-hmm.
you do resonate. You start to move up the
ladder.
Your frequency moves up.
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, I'm ready for the next leap of faith. I've
mm-hmm.
mastered this level.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm heading to the next one
mm-hmm.
and the next one and mm-hmm. so forth.
And we, you know what? We know what that looks like because, you know, I've had clients who don't master that leap of faith.
Right.
That, you know, still say, you know, if I did this, which I would love to do, I would lose this.
Yes.
This government.
Whatever.
Whatever it might be. So, and so consequently, they're stuck.
Yeah. It is interesting when people talk about universal health care. I'm all for it for this one reason. To me, it doesn't mean like, oh, you'll get it for free and I'll have to pay for yours.
Right.
No,
it doesn't mean
that
for me either.
It means we all have to pay for our own in a different way.
Yeah.
It's universal health care.
It's just a different way.
And I want it for a variety of reasons. Here's one reason, okay? There are a lot of people out there that do not embrace their future self or that leap of creativity because they are afraid to lose their health insurance.
Right.
I mean, you'd be surprised.
100%. You'd be surprised.
I'm like, well, I can't quit my job or I can't even think about quitting my job.
Right.
I'm like, I don't want you to quit your job because no. I got my whole family has their health insurance here. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Okay, I understand
and
that.
And in the meantime, they're dying on the vine.
Yeah,
their bones are dry.
Yes. And it's a thing that, like, what am I going to do if I don't have health insurance? And yet there are countries in this world where that issue, their health insurance still gets paid because it's paid differently.
Mm-hmm.
you still have to pay for your health insurance. Yeah. We all have to chip in.
And you're not chipping in for someone who's laying on the sofa eating chips.
Yes. No, exactly. We all have to
Which
pay.
Which that is the vision, isn't it?
It is.
If we do that, I'm paying for someone who won't get off the sofa.
Yeah.
Even to poo.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta die, die right there. Exactly right. Exactly. But I just to go back real quick to universal health coverage, because that's my thing. I saw a statistic that in countries that have universal health care, the average cost per person is $5,000 a year if they have universal health care. Ours is $9,900, something like that. That's the average it costs for health care per person in the United States,
right.
Twice as much. And we don't live longer, and we have worse care.
Right, and even in our birth rates, and our our childhood,
there's a lot
illnesses.
Of issues. Yeah. And so you go, wait a minute.
What's going on?
So
What's
you're trying to tell
wrong?
Me we don't have better care? Now, we do have some areas we were like on the leading edge of medicine. However, as a whole, we don't get better care than other countries that have universal health care.
Right.
So I'm just like, well, hey, if universal health care means it's cheaper and we get better, well, maybe we should think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Or have some form. It does mean that maybe we don't have hospitals that look like amazingly beautiful.
Right.
You know, they're not, we don't spend $100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not spent, you know.
We reuse some stuff.
Yes.
Well, my good friend has met a man who lived in a country that had, what is it, they get actual monthly salaries.
Yes.
So they can, you know, and he moved here, but he creates these beautiful, like, mandolins, guitars. I mean, he builds these out of wood and puts the strings in them and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he makes these gorgeous instruments, but here he's got to work at a warehouse.
Yeah.
Because he can't afford to make these beautiful instruments that, you know, are beautiful and people would love to buy them,
right?
You know, but he can't do that here.
Yeah,
you know,
and
pretty interesting.
And somebody would say, "Well, like he shouldn't have come over here then."
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
You know, it's interesting though.
Yeah,
and it's like,
but he did it for love,
right? There you go. They'll screw you in the end, no matter what. I get told, nah, don't do anything for love.
Oh, did the gas go down to zero yesterday?
Yeah. Love, that new love energy only lasts for about 6 months to a year.
Tell everybody the toenail story, which is awesome.
Okay. I'm trying to think, though, what that's called, though, that you never, you know, that...
universal
income,
wage?
Yeah.
Universal income?
And it's like, I agree with that as well, because if people could feel confident that their basic needs were met, would crime be less?
Yes.
I mean,
everything would be less, because ultimately the basis for a lot of crap is poverty.
Poverty
is lack.
Yeah.
And it could be a mindset.
Yes.
And it could, I mean, and it could actually be a real thing.
A mindset based on other things. And if we can elevate that, and then not, you know, I don't.
If the only way that you can eat is to sell drugs or whatever.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You're going to sell drugs.
I'm always curious, and I'm not smart enough to realize all this stuff yet. But I know that there's countries or other ways of doing it that seem to be working slightly better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if there's working slightly better, then maybe we could think about moving in that direction as well. You know, I mean, we certainly
We're not that dumb. We can manage these things.
And yet I know that in our economy, I read this, I hope, I don't know if it's true anymore, but it was like medical costs or the medical industry is like 18% of our total budget.
I bet it's more.
You know, that's a lot of, jobs out there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff going on.
That in our town of 18,000, I would say that our hospital and Walmart are the biggest employers.
Exactly.
You know, and
for
some,
sure.
And some
capacity.
side
yes.
industry from that.
Right. Exactly. For sure. So we've got about 7 minutes left of the show.
Got it.
What did you ask me, though?
No, I wouldn't.
I tried to avoid.
Just thought it was kind of funny.
Yes. I'll call this Doug Corner.
It's the magic corner.
So Doug, I went and saw Doug last night, and we're chit-chatting, and he goes, do you remember that show, Little Monsters, on Nickelodeon? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. Zero. Because I used to watch it with my girls all the time. I go, okay. Because there's a monster in there, a little monster that loves to, his diet consists of toenails. Like, your toenail clippings, he would take them and eat them, and he would thrive on them. I'm like, oh, okay, great. That's brilliant. Okay. And from a writer's perspective, that's pretty brilliant. He goes, well, and I had just seen one of the paranormal caught on camera. So I'm like, looking around, like, what does he want to tell me? He goes, well, I was cutting my toenails. I'm like, okay. And I was letting him drop to the floor. I was doing it while I was watching some TV. I'm like, okay. And, I didn't pick him up right away because I was being lazy and I was watching TV. And I'm like, okay, cool. And he goes, and I decided I would sweep him up the next day. I'm like, oh, okay, you went a whole day without picking him up. He goes, yeah, and then in like another 24 hours, like 48 hours, I decided, oh, I better get these toenail clippings. Julie's coming over. And if she sees them, she's going to be grossed out. Like, yeah, thank you. I'm glad
that... toes that he has toenails.
Yes, which is not all 10. I'm not even sure if 8 have toenails. His feet are not his best...
asset?
No, they really aren't. But they do the job. They do the job. Come on.
Who are we to judge?
I don't. I just tell stories. I see jokes everywhere, people. And so I'm hearing. And... he says, so I was going to sweep them up today, and they're gone. I go, what do you mean they're gone? I go, I cannot find one toenail.
Mic drop.
Anywhere. And I think they've been consumed. I'm like, okay.
Scary.
So what poltergeist, ghost, or little monster chose to do that? And then, of course, he wanted to tell his daughters right off the bat. And I said, this is not like the best story to tell your daughters. I mean, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But you're admitting to being lazy. To like doing your toenails.
And in the process, I'm telling the zero gas story.
Yes, at this moment. They're realizing that their dad is just becoming, he's dialing down.
Yeah.
He can barely handle his life.
He has white powder under his nose, and it's powdered sugar.
Yes, exactly. But he is getting gas in his gas car, in his car, and he is cutting his toenails. So, I mean, I call it a win.
It's a win.
Yeah. So I was talking to him about what he wanted in 3 to 5 years for his business, and He was telling me, and he was. Well,
I know he told
specific.
Me he wants me to do Groupon for him.
Yes, he wants you to do Groupon.
And he said, "Give her a hug and kiss for doing it for me."
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so exactly.
It's kind of funny because I have to decide what he wants to give the Groupon for.
Yeah, I told him to shake his moneymaker. And so, I go, so tell me what you want for 3 to 5 years. So he's telling me, and it's pretty specific. And I'm like, oh, great. He knows where he's heading.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'll say, and I know you don't believe me on this. I go, I don't know why you think I don't believe you.
I do.
I do.
I know why.
He never
You've known
me.
Him for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's never done anything.
Yeah. And so.
I mean, let's just say the track record is not
right.
That great.
And so, he's telling me, and then I go, and he never asked what I want. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to force it down his throat. I'm going to tell him what I want in 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm starting to tell him, and he's like, oh, my God. I go, what? I have got to go to the bathroom so bad. I hope I make it to my house. And he goes, oh, my God. And he's holding, like, that feeling, and he's, like, clenching everything. Oh, my God. And I go, and then he goes, okay, what do you want in 3 to 5 years? I'm like, I refuse to tell you now while you are clinching everything, every orifice is being clinched and closed. I refuse to tell you my dreams and desires for the next 3 to 5 years of my life. I go, you will have to wait.
Yes.
He goes, no, come on, tell me. It's okay.
Yeah, I hope you didn't tell him.
Of course I didn't tell him.
Your dreams and visions would be wasted on that in that moment.
I mean, yes. I mean, and I'm not your distraction, so you don't crap your pants. Yeah. Well, he said he had some bad. He goes, I think I had some bad cod.
Oh, Jesus.
I go, really? What'd you get caught
he
at?
He always has bad fish whenever it happens.
He goes, that's what he said. Oh, my God. That's exactly what he said.
I know.
He goes, I don't know why I still choose to get fish out in the road. Because it's always.
It's a gas station.
Yeah.
Fish at gas station fish is not good.
It wasn't. It was Culver's. But, yeah. It was, because it just doesn't sit well with him. And you know why it doesn't sit well? Because he calls it health food. You know, he gets a big, you know, fried cod piece on bread, a fried cod sandwich, and he's like, oh, I'm eating health. I'm getting my omega-3s today. Yeah. You know, I'm like, whatever, dude. Call it what it is. Just yummy food.
Yeah.
It's fried yummy food.
Yeah.
You know, at least embrace it. At least embrace it. Yeah, so that was my Douglas story.
Bad cod.
But
yeah, that's great.
We tried to listen to Jordan. It didn't work necessarily.
So the actual radio didn't work.
Yeah, and he and I
see that would be a sign for me.
Yeah,
that he wasn't ready for that.
That
would be a sign for me. Honestly.
I know. I understand.
Yeah,
but
did you try harder then?
Well, yeah. Well, I just talked to him about it then.
Oh, you tried talking about
and
it,
and he told me his 3 to 5 year plan.
Oh, got it.
I told, and then he couldn't hear mine because of the issue and so forth.
Yeah, the
and then we started playing. He's has Sirius, but because his dashboard's different. It's not the same enjoyment factor we get from Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
So we started playing back, you know, like he goes, I saw that preview that you saw about the Beatles, you know, and how this, you know, this guy becomes famous in 30 days because
I love that
he
idea.
Knows all the Beatles songs and nobody knows who the Beatles are. And
you wake up in a world where the Beatles are never been heard and you start playing their songs and everybody thinks you're like,
genius.
Amazing. I love that idea.
And then he said, I'm not sure I can name 10 Beatles songs. I go, come on. He goes, I'm really not. So we tried.
And could you?
He only named like one. And I go, come on. And
what?
I go, think of this movie. And he named a couple more.
Let's
think
name
of
10.
This. Okay.
Let's try and name 10.
Okay, then we'll be done. That's cool.
Okay.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, my God. Penny Lane.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
She loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Jude.
What'd you say yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
That's 5. Good job.
Okay.
I
want to hold your hand.
6.
Okay.
I am the walrus.
Yeah.
Coo-coo-choo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's the one about, I met the news today. Oh boy.
That's the number one Beatles song.
About a lucky man who made the grid.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's 8. Okay.
Okay. Or 7. 8?
Yeah, we need 3 more.
Okay. We need, okay. Oh, my God.
I go, how about the warm gun? That song?
Oh, Norwegian Wood.
Oh, that's a good song. I once had a girl,
or should I say, she once had me.
Now shake it up, baby. Now
twist and
shake
shout.
It up, baby. Yep, twist and shout. Was that a 10? Remake?
Is that that's a remake.
Yeah.
That's a remake.
Mm-hmm.
Is that 10?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And also, like, I go, we all live in a yellow submarine. Or is that just his?
That's just Ringo, maybe.
I don't think so.
No, that's the whole thing?
I go, and as my guitar gently weeps.
Yeah.
I think that's a Beatles song, too.
Oh,
or it's just a George Harrison. I don't know. That's a good sign.
Well, we could do this.
Oh, we already did it.
Yeah, we did it.
So,
what a way to end the show.
How was the show?
You know what? Overall, it was great. Wear your hat today.
I will.
It was great hat. It was great.